So the specific pilot location, called the Talab Camp, in the last settlement in Dhaka, is actually, it's home to a minority community known as the Bihari. They're descendants of immigrants from India in 1947, Muslim immigrants who strongly identified with Pakistan. Now, when Bangladesh achieved independence in 1971, they wanted to be repatriated to Pakistan, but due to complications, this never happened. So from that time, well, they were identified as refugees at that time and provided refugee camp sites to live. And these Talab camp is one of these sites. So it's a bit of a unique situation. The land tenure situation is slightly more secure than other slums across Dhaka. The site was designated as a refugee camp according to the Geneva Convention for Refugees. But saying that, the conditions on the site were also particularly bad because the ethnic minority has been marginalised since that time. So there were approximately 650 households. Alright, so now I'll talk a bit about the community-based resilience framework that we use to support the community in their action planning. So I'll just briefly put this up to show you that there were various elements to the training around this resilience framework, and I'll just briefly focus on the first section, the introduction to the framework. So what do we mean when we say resilience? I think due to factors such as continuing population growth, rapid urbanisation, climate change, the world is undergoing or being subject to more and more unpredictable events. So instead of designing projects or programs that address a specific known risk, development actors are realising that there's benefit in also building the community's ability to deal with unpredictable events. So these communities will be able to better prepare, prevent, respond to, and recover from shocks and stresses that may occur. So what do we mean by a shock? A shock is considered a single unpredicted event, for example, an earthquake or a flood or an eviction. And stresses are considered ongoing hardships, so unemployment in the community, household illness and disease, could be waterlogging, there's rising food prices, a range of different stresses that communities deal with. So this community-based resilience framework was developed by ARAP for the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. It was developed through consultation and research into more than 600 communities across Thailand, Indonesia, Sri Lanka and the Maldives. And this was following the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami. So there was direct consultation with over 30 communities when included to this research. Now, before I go into the characteristics, I just want to caveat that meeting basic needs is considered a prerequisite for building resilience. So individuals whose daily focus is on survival, so getting adequate food, water and shelter, just don't have the capacity to build resilience. So that's a minimum standard set as we go forward. So the framework identified the following six characteristics that were common to safe and resilient communities. So a safe and resilient community is knowledgeable and healthy. It is organised. It's connected. It has infrastructure and services, it has economic opportunities, and it can manage its natural assets. So the diagram on the right shows that central to this framework are knowledgeable and healthy individuals. Supporting these individuals are community assets. So that include physical assets such as infrastructure, essential services, natural assets, natural resources, as well as social assets. So community support structures and economic opportunities. And the outer circle shows that a connected community is one which can access the resources of other communities if they need to. So I'll now look at how we might apply this framework to a community facing challenges around land tenure and security. So a challenge that we all face is that how can NGOs and community organisations manage the risk of eviction and the subsequent loss of investment into physical infrastructure? And we're suggesting that a way of managing that risk is by prioritising investment into the residents themselves and the resilience of their community. So if we theoretically apply this resilience framework to a community dealing with land tenure insecurity, what do these characteristics look like and what can we do to help build them? So looking at the first characteristic, a resilient community is knowledgeable and healthy. So a community who is knowledgeable about their land and housing rights and the local laws that govern them will be better able to assess the options that they have in relation to settlement. So their options might include new infrastructure development, it might be slum upgrading, or it might be resettlement. Helping communities access this information will help them to be more resilient. There's also local knowledge which assists communities in dealing with land tenure insecurity. For example, knowing if an eviction were to occur, it was about to occur, they can protect their possessions, their families, and basically minimise the impact of those events